All right, so Tigers back in action tonight following their sweep of the Cleveland Guardians. What a fun weekend that was. And yeah, look, they didn't score a ton of runs. They did score a ton of runs the series before, but dropped 2 of 3 against Washington. You know, there's a little bit of hand-wringing going on amongst Tiger fans about the offense. But at this point, best record in baseball, huge lead in the division. They got an interesting series coming up with Tampa. That first series with Tampa played in the Yankees minor league park in a game that, or a series that was really weird for Detroit. I don't think it was an excuse. I think excuses are when people bring up stuff that have nothing to do with anything as to why a team looked lethargic or didn't play well. The Tigers had come off that marathon, like 12-hour day at Comerica Park, flew to Tampa, landed at, you know, 4 a.m., got on the field, lost, turned around and had to play the next day at noon, lost that game too. Came back and won the Sunday game. Tampa's been relatively hot in that they are now tied for, although they've lost four, they've won only four of their last 10, but they're tied now with the Yankees for second place behind the Blue Jays in the American League East. It's a good Tampa team. And Tigers coming home here, a little home stretch leading into the All-Star game with two teams that can be a problem. One is Tampa. The other is Seattle. But we don't know who's, they haven't announced yet who's starting for the Tigers tonight, right? This has bullpen day, opener, and then like ends being the bulk guy written all over it.
Well, according to ESPN, Cater Montero is going to start.
My apologies then.
I just looked that up because I hadn't seen anything up until a while. I haven't seen anything. I hadn't checked it in a while, but as of this morning, they didn't name a starter. Now apparently it's Cater Montero.
Okay, great. So what do you make of this series here?
I think it's you're taking on a pretty good Rays team, and they're 8 games above .500. Tigers have a bad taste in the mouth from when they played down there, but they're back home. I'm sure they're looking forward to playing in front of the hometown fans, playing the best baseball they played, 23 games above .500. But I do think this will be a test for them. They're going to face at least two pitchers that beat them when they played in Tampa. So what did they learn from those guys?
Yeah. So, look, the series with Cleveland, the starting pitching was fantastic. And the bullpen work was really good. And the way that they scrapped and clawed, found a way to get a run here, a run there, just enough to win that series was great. It's not always going to be good enough. I mean, yeah, they put up 6 in extra innings, but they spent the first 27 innings of that series, scored 4 runs. I'm not worried about the offense yet. Seeing the feedback coming in, there does appear to be some concern developing from the fans. I think it would have to be bad for more than a week because seasons have so many ebbs and flows. But I'm not looking to fix anything or that concerned for quite some time yet.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably go longer than a week because I just think this team has been resilient. They'll be able to bounce back. But there's plenty of time. You've got 3 full weeks and then some before the trade deadline. So mm-hmm. if you feel the need to fortify with a bat, you can do that. But the bigger concern or the bigger priority for this team, in my mind, is adding to the bullpen. If they can bring up Alex Lang this week, great. But I think they need another back-end bullpen arm. Somebody can strike guys out. Somebody who throws in the high 90s or reaches triple digits. I'd like to see that. It's possible they need another starter. I mean, it's great to have 4 guys in a rotation. Be better to have 5. Like we said today, Cater Montero gets another start. He's pitched okay. He's got a 4.0 ERA with the Tigers. That's okay for your 5th starter. I take it, but if you can find somebody else out there that's way more consistent, can give you 6 to 7 innings every time he goes out there, go find that guy if you can. That'd be another area I'd look. But the bat to the lineup is the last among my priorities, and it's not something that I'm just going to totally say you don't do it. You do it, but I got to address these other things first.
If you told me going into this season, well, there's a whole bunch of stuff that if you told me going into this season, I wouldn't believe. But one of the biggest of which is if you told me going into the season that 2 guys that they expected to be in their starting rotation would be out, and Alex Cobb and Jackson Jobe, the last thing I would have expected is for this team to be 13.5 games up in the division. The last thing I would have expected for them to have the best record in baseball. last thing I expected for the pitching to actually be pretty good. Now, I guess Cobb, we always sort of raised our eyebrow as a bit suspicious as to the signing and whether or not it would provide dividends for this team. But, you know, we say about Brad Holmes, and I'll say it again here, I don't expect them to be perfect. It's just as the net-net of what management's doing, producing a winning team, and clearly it is doing that right here, right now. And so as we sit today, pretty pleased with what's going on. The Zach McKinstry story yesterday, I mean, he only played in the last two innings of the game. Came in the top of the ninth as a pitch runner. Stole second, got to third on a ground ball, and then swiped home when he got a great jump, huge lead and a great jump on a pass ball that didn't look like it should produce a run. It just trickled away, and he scored easily. Then he moves to first base for the first time in his career. Borrows Torque's glove, apparently, and tosses it back to him afterwards, but makes a couple of plays in the field in the bottom of the ninth and was there in the 10th as well. Pretty amazing story. And there's some people who are disappointed he didn't make the All-Star team. He might. He might because Alex Bregman, the guy that said no to Detroit, might be hurt and probably is hurt, and they're probably going to have to find a replacement. Wouldn't it feel like some sort of sweet justice if it was Zach McKinstry?
Delicious irony, the whole thing. And the other thing I find wildly impressive with Zach McKinstry about that sequence, he's brought in the pinch run. Everyone in the ballpark knows he's going to try to steal second base.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you can do that while everybody knows you're going to go. And the catcher got a great throw down to second base, but McKinstry had a better jump and just barely beat out that throw to steal the base and put himself in scoring position. And then fortunately, a couple batters later, takes advantage of Jose Ramirez playing basically in the outfield grass, just at the back of the dirt, and playing well off of third base, allowing McKinstry to take a lead. It's like halfway down the line so that he can jump on a situation if the pitch is in the dirt. And pitch got away from the catcher. Wasn't far. 8 mm-hmm. feet, maybe 10 feet. Didn't matter. McKinstry was able to sprint across easy.
Yeah, well, his value to this team, it's not lost on Detroit fans. I've said this before on the air, but I'll say it again for those who haven't heard it. I think basically almost every sports market is the same with little subtleties here and there. And I think the one thing that's unique to Detroit is we love a role player. We love a guy that does all the little things that helps a team win, and I think we treat them like absolute superstars. And Zach McKinstry, you, sir, are the next one. 248-539-9797. Something just happened, and I wonder how much it's going to resonate with our audience. We'll get to that today at 1:46 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.